Welcome to the Nifty Podcast, presented by Partyfish Media, a showcase of the best emerging filmmakers under the age of 25 from all over the world. Film starts here at Nifty 2023 in Seattle, Washington, running April 27th through the 30th and online through May 7th. Hi, everybody. Welcome to our annual Programmer's Picks episode for the Nifty Podcast. I'm Robert Bohorkas, Nifty's podcast producer and a board member. And it's great to be here. I'm no longer part of the programming team, but we got a whole bunch of great programmers here to walk you through some selections that they really enjoyed programming. The whole festival is great, but here are just some that can get you hyped to check out some of these screenings. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Amy Williams. Take it away.
Hello, everybody. I am Amy Williams, as Robert just said, and I'm this year's festival director, and I'm going to throw it over to Krupa.
Hi, I'm Krupa Kanaya. I'm this year's marketing director.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kevin Connor. I'm one of the programmers at this year's festival.
Hi, I'm Chloe Rankin, and I'm also a programmer at this year's festival.
Hey, everybody. My name is Ryan Saunders. I am the managing director of Nifty.
Hi, my name is Hanae Belzer. I'm a programming intern for Nifty, and my pronouns are she, her.
I will kick things off here, I guess, with my first pick. I'm going to smash us right into Friday Night Shorts. My first pick this year is an animated film directed by Sophia Spinelli, the film Frog in My Throat. It is just this precious little amalgamation of different animation types that tells the story about a girl whose anxiety is manifesting as literal frogs in her throat. And what I love so much about this film is the wonderful balance that the director is able to strike between this like really honest and almost brutal portrayal of what struggling with mental health really looks like day to day, and also this like comedy and levity and resilience that this main character shows. It's actually like a very optimistic little short that I really, really love. So that's my first pick, and I'm going to throw it to Krupa for the next one.
Awesome. My first pick is also going to be an animation. I'm going with Unlucky Charms. It's a 3D animated short. It's a horror, which for those who don't know me, I am not a horror girly. I will avoid it like the plague, and this film I could not walk away from. It's fun. It's like clever and like witty. It's basically the story of like what happens if the little charms or characters from your cereal box come to life to literally haunt and kill you. Maybe stay away from your cereal boxes before you watch it or after, but definitely recommend seeing this one. It's going to be playing also on it's playing on Saturday at the Thrills and Chills presented by Hushin College. So I'm going to pass on to Kevin.
Thanks, Krupa. I will keep the animation train going and pick Insight as my pick this year. A big theme that I kind of see year after year in submissions are like stories about folks trying to fit or like fit in or find their place in some sort of community. And this is like no exception. It's this kind of like interconnected with both like a local community and also like the solar system in general. Animation about this young kid who sets out to shoot down kind of the evening star from the night sky after overhearing the star is going to be like the closest to the town for the first time in decades. Directed by Wendy Liu, Natalie Tran, and Cindy Z. And the animation art style kind of just bursts with this magical warmth that kind of just reminded me of being young and infatuated with things so simple like the night sky. And it's just a delightful little short from Australia that's playing in our opening night screening at 6:30 on Thursday. So go ahead and check it out. And I'd love to hear what Chloe has to say.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Just to keep the theme going, I'll throw an animation in there as well. And for my animation, I'm choosing 2166, which is in the Lively Locales on Sunday, April 30th at 12 p.m. So check it out. It is absolutely so immersive. And I love something that will make you like feel textures and like feel in the space and the environment itself. And it absolutely nailed that from the sound design to all of the just really cool perspectives. I love how animation can just push and really emphasize different proportions and different really different kind of wonky perspectives, and it did just that. And while it didn't follow really a linear structure, which I loved, it just showed really calm and really intriguing moments of such seemingly peaceful and non-eventive times. And I thought that was amazing. So definitely check that out on April 30th at 12 p.m. And I'm going to pass it over to the lovely Ryan.
Wow. Thank you very much, Chloe. Well, I'm going to start at the end, in a way. I'm going to recommend a film from our closing night celebration, which will take place on Sunday, the 30th, April 30th at 6 p.m. I'm going to recommend a film called Obtusion. And this is a film that I think about quite a lot. I'll admit, I actually saw it before programming here at Nifty. It's a film that had crossed my path before, and I cried the first time I've seen it. I cried the second, third, and fourth. And sometimes I cry when I think about it. And I don't want that to be something that dissuades people from seeing it, because I think it's just an overwhelmingly beautiful work. And I think it's very representative of why I enjoy youth festivals so much and the special power that Nifty brings to audiences, because this film is a one-person operation. It is directed by Nathan Cowles from Arizona, and the film is a portrait of his relationship with his sister. And the film is just the two of them. He produced the entire thing. It's primarily an interview between the two of them, and it's him trying to discover how he can better understand his sister, who is suffering from an eating disorder, and also just what his relationship with her can grow and evolve over time with, and navigating those challenges. It's an extremely tender film. It's one that really strikes a chord with me personally, because I also have a younger sister that suffers some significant pain that I'll never fully understand. And this film spoke to me so directly, because it just captures something about that desire for a sibling to really just understand and showcase their love for their sibling. So it's a really beautiful film. It's absolutely unmissable. So I would highly recommend people check that out. So now I'm going to pass it off to Hanae.
Thank you, Ryan. I picked The River. Piggybacking off yours, I'll go with a heavier theme. In this film, from a young filmmaker named Janae Kelly from Memphis, Tennessee, it is in the Experimental Visions category, premiering Friday, April 28th at 8:30 p.m. It really took my breath away. Ryan passed this one along to me, and it's about a community experiencing tragedy. And the filmmaker really broaches it in this fluid and like immersive way. The performances are well workshopped. I think you all will really like this film. And I'll pass it to Amy.
Awesome. Back to me. I'm going straight to the center, straight to centerpiece, 7:30 Saturday night. My pick in this screening is Ophelia Spinoza's Fruits of Labor, which is such a wonderful, lovely documentary that I've got a soft spot for. I think the log line puts it really succinctly. Interplaying the metaphor of grapes, this father-daughter documentary is characterized by the labor of love it is to make wine, but also the labor of love that is love itself. And there's clearly, like, this documentary was a labor of love from this daughter to her father, too, obviously. It's just such a beautiful portrait of her father, and it's teeming with patience and passion, and there's the palpable feelings on display in such a quiet film that really takes its time and studies its subject. I think it's kind of a universal thing we all experience, having parents and wanting to know them, to understand them, to love them, and the kind of generational and cultural differences in how we make that connection with our parents and their generations is really interesting. And I really love the take that Ophelia had on this. And it's got one of the most beautifully constructed shots in the entire festival. I am obsessed with it. I'm really excited to see it on the big screen. So that's my next one.
I'm going to jump in with another centerpiece pick. My pick for the second go around is Birdsong. It's so beautiful. It's the story of this little girl whose bird passes and she's trying to bury it. And it has a lot to do with that sort of third culture kid experience. I absolutely am such a crybaby and I was so emotional watching this. It reminds me of like experiences as a kid who had a bird, experiences of like learning about my own culture and cremation, learning from like just from grandparents. And I think any kid who's grown up in like with one foot in the Western American society and one in like their parents' home country, you'll really get a beautiful experience out of this film. It's really softly done. It's got some really wonderful visuals, but hits home.
My next pick is going to be Puck. And it's kind of this quiet, subtle kind of death blow of a film to my heartstrings in a way, kind of keeping with the tone of everything, but in the best way possible. It's about this casual kind of intimate meetup between these guys who experience kind of like this sudden, undeniable kind of connection, I would say, between each other. It's almost unspoken. So a lot of this is between like lines of dialogue and stuff like that. But it's all just like executed impeccably. It's the type of film that kind of like moves you with glances or facial twitches, but really kind of delivers the cinematic equivalent of like the rush or pang of those like what if moments that like maybe, or I think like everyone's kind of experienced in their lives. Like your specifics might be different than what you're watching on the screen, but kind of the movie recreates that feeling so well and so tenderly that it's just like an incredible pair of performances. And I'm a big fan of this one playing in our centerpiece screening, which again is that Saturday at 7:30. So yeah, check Puck out.
Wonderful. Well, I will be breaking the mold of the centerpiece screenings, and I'm going to be talking about Grief is Quiet, which is in the Evergreen screening, Sunday, April 30th. I love my Sunday, April 30th at 10 a.m. And I love a good violent sob. And that this film did just that. I feel like grief is such a universal concept, and it's such a feeling that is so hard to articulate and grasp or capture. And I feel like this film did just that in such a beautiful way about a letter to her dog, Ginger. And a pet loss is especially painful for all the pet owners out there who have had one and have lost one. Investing in something that you know is going to come to an end is such an interesting thing that I think us humans do. But let alone, it's such a simple yet beautifully articulated way to express grief. And it's played to the song Claire de Lune, which is so emotional for me. And like the second it started playing, I was like, oh, love a good sob. So please check it out. Even if you don't like a good sob, it helps like kind of think through what grief is and how to change your perspective on it being like a stopping or like stuck point in your life. So check that out on Sunday, April 30th at 10 a.m. And Haley McGill freaking killed that. And I'm going to pass it to, again, lovely Ryan.
Thank you. I'm honored. Well, the next film I'm going to talk about is sort of an oddity that I was really struck by when I first encountered it. And it kind of fits in with a lot of what people have been talking about as it relates to parents and our relationship to the past. And so the film I'm going to talk about is called Parental Orbit, which is playing during our Family Ties program. That's at 4 p.m. on Saturday. And it is, it technically has two directors, and it's sort of directors across time. So it's directed by Dara Carniol and her great uncle, Bernard Carniol. And the film has like a pretty intense conceit where it's recovered footage from when her great uncle was, as a young man, exploring experimental cinema in New York in the 60s. And Dara takes this footage and then interviews her uncle, repurposes the footage, and then also starts interacting with the footage with contemporary imagery that both recreates it and then also overlays things on top of it. And she also adds a sound design to it, which is entirely brand new because this footage was all shot on Super 8. And I've always really been interested, particularly in the visual texture of memory, which I think that this film is exploring. Just as a personal little note about myself, I once made a film riffing on a similar idea where I had like this footage of myself when I was in second grade after like my first communion, where I was wearing a suit and instead of thinking about God, I wanted to be James Bond. So it's like me running around the streets of Chicago in a suit because I'm like, well, I feel like James Bond. And I tried to do something similar where I shot new footage in the same location with the same camera. And I feel like Dara just advances it and does something like even more fascinating with it because it's both a collaboration with the past, and it's also working with someone else. It's a way of kind of bringing her family on screen and also putting her own imprint on it, and just the way that art kind of travels across generations. It's beautiful. It's a really amazing film, so I hope people check that out. So yeah, Hine, I'll pass it back off to you.
I also saw Parental Orbit and I loved it. I didn't pick it because you got it first, but I'll take us back to Centerpiece. I have picked Paloma. It's from Brittany Alexia Young. And I noticed I picked another Southern female filmmaker and I really love what she did with this film. It's only 6 minutes long, but she really dives into mental health and with the intensity. Trigger warning, this film is about sexual assault, but everything about this film is so intimate and real and yet delicate. And you get to see this actress. She's amazing, phenomenal. That's my favorite part about this film and how she approaches this traumatic incident and has to go face to face with her principal. And it's just about self-advocacy and I just really liked it. I think our festival attendees will like it too.
I actually just rewatched that one today and it's incredible. That performance is just blows me away every time. I want to take us to one of my personal favorite screenings that I don't think has been mentioned yet today. And that is Uneasy Street. That is happening Sunday afternoon. It is such a wonderful screening with a lot of alum actually in that screening that are coming back with really, really strong pieces that I'm super hyped for. They're some of my favorites of the festival. Love them, would pick them all, can't. So I've picked Raza Tariq's Taming a Seahorse. Basically, it is, I have two this year that are POV real-time car films in my programmer's picks. Shout out Half-Light. That's my other one. But Taming a Seahorse basically takes place real time in just this like most tense cab ride of your life, essentially. The performances are really, really great. And it's just this like ultra realistic scenario that will just put you on edge the whole time. The directing is superb. It keeps your attention and engagement like really, really easily, even though you were just in the backseat of a car for like 15 minutes. Like he pulls it off. Love it. Love seeing Raza back this year. Can't wait to watch this one with a crowd.
I love it. I'm going to take us to a bop, or one that I consider a bop. We're going to Musical Melody, which is playing Friday at 3:30 at the SIF Uptown. I'm so excited to share Heavenly Bodies with you guys. It's one so much fun. It's like gonna make you dance, whatever. Like the Musical Melodies block in general is a great one for your playlist, but this film specifically, like I remember watching it and the way the timing and pacing and the lights are all cued together are perfect. I love a good music video that really ties it all together, and this one really does that. The visual matches everything else you're listening to. I'm absolutely gonna play it on repeat off of my Spotify at some point. And honestly, one of my favorite things is like, it's so simple and like, it really shows what you can do with a good amount of skill without being like overly flashy, if that makes sense. So shout out to the filmmaker and this one. I'm really excited.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Emma Weinzweig's short, I Probably Shouldn't Be Telling You This. And it's my pick because it made me laugh the most of everything that I saw this year so far. The whole short is just this live recording of an interview between a podcaster and an influencer who both kind of like word vomit reveal like an ever mounting like layers of facade, I guess, is a way of doing it. But it's like satirical, it's this comedy. And like most podcasts, they're like making the confessional professional. But there's like a tightly punched up joke, like every third line, that gets you chuckling every time. And it's a frenetic movie, really fast paced, going back and forth. So I'm really excited to watch it with a crowd in our centerpiece screening Saturday at 7:30. I'm excited to see how raunchy and satirical and amazing these pair of lead performances play to like a packed house. I think it's just going to be an absolute barn burner. So that's again called I Probably Shouldn't Be Telling You This.
That's wonderful. I love it. So I'm going to be talking about A Trip to the Moon, which was created by a good friend of mine now, Julian Barahona. And I am so grateful to have been able to see his work and then get to know him as a person. I think seeing his mind reflect into this film was amazing. And this film basically captures the contrast of having this childlike imagination kind of run your perspective through your young years, and then having, you know, kind of a harsher, less imaginative reality kind of creep into that, and dealing with that loss of nostalgia and that loss of childlike wonder. And I think it's just so beautifully done. The animation and the digital film, amazing. And it just made me really happy to be able to see that and know him as a person. And this was another one where I could not stop crying. Love a good cry, guys. I love a good cry. So, yeah, that will be showing on wonderful Bring the Kids. Your kids won't cry probably, but I did. And it's at 10 a.m. On Saturday. 10 a.m. on Saturday. So I'll pass it to Ryan. Go for it.
Very good. Thank you. The film that I'm going to talk about is directed by someone I desperately wish I knew as a person and would love to be friends with them. And perhaps this could be a plea, in case he's listening to this episode, to connect with me, hopefully at Nifty and beyond. Because every now and then, you know, you come across a film and you watch it and you think, was this made for me? It's just something that like scratches the itch and really delivers on just about anything you could be looking for. So I'm going to recommend this film that is in the Experimental Visions category, which is on Friday at 8:30. And it's a film called In Search of Mount Analog, directed by Leonardo Pirandi. And let me see if I can like sort of paint a picture of what this film even is. It's quite short. It's probably under 5 minutes, and it's an adaptation in quotation marks of a 1952 French surrealist novel called Mount Analog. So this film is In Search of Mount Analog, and what he does, Leonardo creates a 3D rendering of the mountain and then spends the film exploring these digital crevices to the point where everything becomes distorted and warped. And then he printed all of this onto 16 millimeter film with a little, you know, a play there on the idea of analog. And In Search of Mount Analog, by taking two different mediums of having celluloid and digital 3D rendering, colliding them together and then also seemingly destructing both mediums in the process. And to me, that says I haven't read the book, but it's a seemingly as an authentic adaptation you can do of a French surrealist novel. So, you know, hats off. It's a really exciting film. It's sort of hard to describe in words. Even beyond that, it has like an interesting soundtrack, but it's really experiential. And I think it kicks off that program that night. So it's a great way to jump into overall a really eclectic and exciting batch of films. So be sure to check out In Search of Mount Analog, and who knows, maybe you'll find something inside all of those mountainous crevices. Hene, what else have you been watching?
Okay. How do you follow that? I am going to go with my last pick, which is a documentary, actually. I don't speak Spanish, but I hope I'm saying this right. Jesús Manos. It is this amazing documentary about three generations of female Afro-Cuban circus artists. And it's just incredible. It has this beautiful and full soundscape. And the director does this really beautiful thing where she goes in time. Like, we start with the elder circus performer who's like at the end of her career. She's been doing this a long time. Her body's withered, but she wouldn't give it up for the world. And then we go into the second act, which is a beautiful performer who's in her prime, and she's so excited about what this can offer her more. And then the ending is very beautiful, in which we see these three little girls who are just beginning their career. So it's like this, I don't know, analogy for like time and body and work. And I think it's a beautiful framing of it. And I think it is part of a larger body of work by L. Rinaldi. And that'll be in the Express Yourself block, premiering on Saturday, April 29th at 12:45 p.m.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Hene. Well, there are more programmers and more picks, but you're going to have to go look for those yourself at nifty.org.
I love it. Anyone who wants to watch, please come see us in Seattle. A good chunk of us will be there on site. We'd love to hear and talk film with you at one of the after parties or in the filmmaker lounge. And if you're not coming to Seattle, we still have passes for you. You can attend virtually online and watch most of our films that way. So again, like Amy said, head to nifty.org and get yourself a pass.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you all for sharing. And as Krupa said, for more information on Nifty 2023, the talented youth, more emerging filmmakers, go to nifty.org. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at NFFTY or on Instagram and TikTok at Nifty Film. And for more podcasts from Party Fish Media, search Party Fish Media wherever you listen to podcasts or head to our website at partyfish.media. Hope to see you at the festival. Talk to you there. Party Fish Media acknowledges that it operates and records on indigenous Duwamish and Puget Sound Coast Salish land that is still home to the Duwamish tribe. This land is stolen in violation of the Point Elliott Treaty of 1855. We are committed to uplifting the name of these lands and community members from these nations who reside alongside us. For more information on this land, its people, or ways you can help, visit duwamishtribe.org or realrentduwamish.org.